Jennifer. I'm good. I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How's the weather by you?
Oh my God, I'm in California, baby. It's paradise. Absolutely.
Is it too hot or is it never too hot?
You talking about the weather or you talking about me?
Oh, well, I know you're too hot. I know how that goes.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm so excited to have you here with me on the edge. We're going to have a fun-filled 30 minutes talking about all things wonderful that are you, what you bring to the world, what your goals and ambitions are, how you motivate people, you know, who pours into you, who keeps you motivated. So before we get started, though, I want to ground ourselves and collect a little synergy and energy together. I want to set our intention to make sure that it is purposeful, that it's powerful, that it's fun, it's engaging. And that it lands in the ears that need to hear, upon the hearts that need to feel, and within the hands that need to hold. Okay? We take a few deep breaths on that, okay? That's the best part of the whole interview, is holding that space. Absolutely.
I love it.
All right. So, and then also, girl, I got to do all the housekeeping. Got to get your complete authorization and consent to edit, record, and produce this podcast on behalf of ALM Enterprises, a good person production, and my podcast, On the Edge. You good with that?
I am.
All right. So, brains, we're doing it right here on the edge. Where's my pointer? Girl, I can't find my pointer. Here's my pointer right here. Well, we're doing it, Jennifer. We're doing it right here.
Let's do it.
Okay. I'm so glad to have you here. Tell my brains a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
So I would like to think that I show up very positive for everyone. There's a lot going on in this world, and social media is a rough place. So I stay out of politics. I stay out of anything news related, and I basically pour into people about kindness, about positivity, about gratefulness, about you can do it, encouraging people, being motivational. And I didn't realize the effect I was having until I went to Awake one day, and someone who had just lost her husband said, "You haven't been posting the same way you normally do. I need those posts. I look for them every morning." Wow. And then I started realizing the effect that I was having on people and that they actually look for that positivity. So it's something that I enjoy. It's something that is important to me. So I don't like to dwell in negativity. I don't like to the victim mentality for me personally. And I like to show people that there's another way.
I know, but you know what? So many people, unfortunately, get off on that.
Yes.
You know, it's a mental orgasm for them that, you know, just the uglier that they can be. But it takes discipline, Jennifer, to be kind.
It takes work to be kind.
That's why love is mentioned so many times in the Bible.
Yes.
It takes work to do that, because I can go from a flicker to a flame, but not as much as I used to. I'm a woman of a particular age, girl. I'm about to be 60 years old, and there's not too much you can say to really rock me. I haven't already heard. However, I take a deep breath. I try to consider the source, and I think before I speak, and I think before I act now, even more so. Is it even worth it?
Right. And I try to put myself in the other person's shoes.
Absolutely.
I try to have a little empathy, and we never really know what's truly going on with someone else. So I try to just say, you know, maybe they're hurting right now, or maybe they've had a really bad day, and maybe that smile will be something that changes their day for them. So maybe nobody smiled at them today.
Yep.
It's work.
Or a conversation. So tell us a little bit about your history and your upbringing.
So, I am from Brooklyn, New York, in case you haven't picked that up from the accent yet. Anybody I speak to from anywhere else is always like, say coffee for me. So that's my big one, coffee. So I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and then I moved out to Long Island when I was about 18. I have struggled with my weight since as early as 13, I could remember, but looking back at pictures, it was probably even earlier than that, and went on the lovely Slim Fast back then.
Oh, I know.
My shakes and
diarrhea on steroids.
Yes. And I remember my mother went on it, you know, in solidarity with me. And it was brutal. But, you know, the diet mentality started early. And the restriction and not being happy, not having self-esteem, not having anybody, you know, bad body image, started very early. So that is something that's been a work in progress for me. I'm 46 and I still work on it daily.
Well, okay. Do you work on the weight management or do you work on the self-esteem part of it or both?
I work on both for myself personally. I believe the self-esteem is more important because with that, everything else will snap into line, that it's a puzzle, but I'm mindful about the food. And I, you know, I have definitely struggled. And I think that's what I bring to the table is the constant reminder that you don't have to be perfect, that we all struggle and we all have our struggles and there's seasons. So there are seasons that I have been a perfect size 10 and there are seasons I've been a size 26. And when you're going through things and don't have the support or don't have a tribe, I like to call it, when you don't have your peeps, it's hard. So I try to be that.
But you know what? And again, the adjustment that you have to make in your own mind. As I was on a weight management, girl, I was doing so good. And I looked in the mirror one day and I didn't recognize who I was. My mind hadn't caught up with my waistline.
Yes. That
it will set you aback. And then you hear all this, oh, you look so good and this, that, and the other. And then they see you a year and a half later. Oh, you put that weight back on, huh? You know, all this
silently smirking. And or the people that tell you, don't lose any more weight. You're getting too thin. You look sickly. Trying to sabotage you.
You know, but
I know my own, you know.
But that's with anything. That's with your relationships. That's with your finance. That's with your business. Folks, be up in other folks' business.
Yes.
they really do. And they don't have any degrees. They haven't walked your walk.
Right.
You know, your life journey. So I totally get that. So what are you pouring into other people, you know, out besides kind words and not refilling their beverage?
You know what? I think that I am pouring into them just that accountability. That accountability
to somebody
that's not a friend. That's not going to tell them, oh, you can have the cheesecake. It's okay. I'm like, you can have the cheesecake. But what is more important? Where are your goals? Like I tell people, be a food snob. Like if it's not the best or something you've never had before, then you know what it tastes like. Pass it by. So we kind of talk about things not in, you know, a diet program because anybody can lose weight and any program works, but it's up here and it's the mind and it's working on your relationships with other people, your environment, what you listen to, what you're, you know, what you do on a daily basis, who you spend time with, how you sleep, how you move your body, if you have time by yourself, like all of those things come together and make you a healthier person. So to me, health is a holistic approach and it's something that, you know, you need to work on all the components. Otherwise, there'll always be a squeaky wheel. There'll always be a squeaky chain and you will gain the weight back. So I'm very honest with my clients. I don't promise them anything. It's a journey.
You can't promise them because you don't know what they're going to do. They're going to tell you, oh, Jennifer, honey, I've been doing my 16-hour fast and this, that, and the other. No weight has come off. And they, you know, sat there and just ate a pint of ice cream.
And you know, I've done it. So I've gone
but it's emotional eating.
To emotional eating, binge eating, overeating. There's so many components and everybody's different. Right. So it's really drilling down.
It's you know, it's a drug just like, you know, sex, alcohol, cocaine. It is
and it's an addiction.
But there's a couple things. You know, you want to it's about a purpose and progress. It's not about the pounds.
Exactly.
You know, and so you're gonna get there. eventually. I talk to my plate. I say, ooh, it's too white over there. Let me add some green. Let me add some red. Ooh, my goodness. Do I really need that? I get my little measuring cup. Braze, let me tell you how easy this can be. And I'm talking the talk, because when you see my body here in about 6 months, you're going to be like, damn it. And I don't care who says, oh, she's too thin. I'm going to be thin enough for me and Mr. Magnificent, and that's all that's going to matter. I don't care about what none of y'all have to say. Okay, so, Braze, watch your refills. You be drinking those calories. I know my cousin would go and get a 32-ounce and drink it up and get another 32-ounce. It's straight syrup. Yes. If you are still needing the refill, it's the sugar. You're not quenching your thirst. The only thing that's going to ever really quench your thirst is water.
Exactly.
The second thing, when you start losing weight, remember and give yourself time to get rid of the bloat. You've got a lot of inflammation. You know, see, y'all going to be able to see all up in here. This is going to be thin. You're going to be like, ooh, look at
April. Just that masterpiece, right?
It is. And you know what? Another thing, Braze, eat at home. Now, you can do a lot of damage at home, just like you can do out in town. However, you know what's in it. You can regulate your salt. You can regulate your portion size. If it's real good to you, you might be able to have that one meal 3 times that day, and it'd be good to you, you know? But think about those little things and how much money you're saving. Food is so cotton picking expensive.
Yes.
And these people that's going out to the fast food, I went to a burger joint about 2 weeks ago with my daughter, and we vowed not to go back for 6 months. It was $18 for a burger, fries, and a drink. So I had grease and syrup and bread for $18.
And you were probably hungry in a half an hour or an hour.
I wanted to snack. You know, right. I wanted to snack. Okay, so outside of emotional eating, what other great things are you doing in the world? What is there something that you want the world to know that you're pouring into them right now?
I just think, honestly, well, I work for the state of New York, and I am also an EAP coordinator, so I'm an employee assistance program. So I help other employees that are struggling. So just helping is a huge part of, I raise beautiful children, I think. I have 4 girls.
Wow.
Yes, they're college age and just moving out on their own. And I think pouring into family is important. I think pouring into others, community. Those are really the things that I have focused my life on, not so much the big pictures, but the small things, the people that might go unnoticed, the people that, you know, are quiet or do you need anything? Or I notice
the more introverted or empathic people, because they're overlooked. And I'm telling you, nerds are sexy, but you got to watch the quiet one's brain. See, everybody think it's that loud, boisterous person. They just want attention, but them quiet ones.
Yes.
And when you're dealing with children and you're dealing with, again, you can look at their eating habits. Are they eating too much? Not enough? Are they depressed? Are they talking to their friends? It's all connected to mental health, and everybody's going to have a mental health trigger. Something's going to trigger us. So let's ask you some fun questions there.
Let's do it.
This is my new favorite question, girl. If you were an appliance in the kitchen, what appliance would you be and why?
What appliance would I be and why? Oh, all right. I got to come up with a good one. I want to say the stove, actually, because I would go from hot, from cold to hot, just like that. Like,
would you be a gas stove or would you be an electric stove?
I think I'd be a gas stove. I like that.
You want to ignite it. You know what I'd be? I'd be the spice rack.
Ooh, I like that, because you have different flavors every day.
Different flavors, girl. I want to spice it up. I want to kick it up a notch.
That's a good one.
If you were a flower in the garden, what flower would you be?
Well, if I was a flower, I'd be a sunflower.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Because they actually, there's a saying that they lean in towards each other. And I don't know the whole saying. I don't want to mess it up. But it's just basically about like how sunflowers will lean in on each other. Oh. And I think people should lean in more on each other. Absolutely. For support and help. So
if you were an animal, what animal would you be?
Oh, a good one. A cheetah.
Oh, boy. So you are quick and slick.
A little sassy.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's good. You know what I'd be?
What?
A party animal. We gonna raise the roof to that. Girl, I was doing an interview, and I asked a woman one time, I said, if you were an animal, what animal would you be? You know what she told me? She told me she'd be a snake.
Did she say why?
Yes. Well, you know I asked.
All the good questions.
Right, because she said, because I come in low. I know how to strike. I know how to get it out. I'm looking for my prey, you know?
You better watch her.
Well, wait, this is what I hired her. I sure did. Because you know what? She really revealed who she was. Now, I didn't say she played me. I knew exactly who I was dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of authenticity and transparency,
right?
It was so bold that I was like, oh, hell yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna give her a chance. Because sometimes I don't want to go in low. Sometimes I don't want to strike. And sometimes you need a snake, unfortunately.
Yes, you do. Exactly. And authenticity is like my favorite word right now.
Well, you know, it is, and not mine. Sometimes I think it's a little oversaturated because, you know, you catch us without our makeup on and, you know, in those Birkenstocks and sweatpants and you didn't have on for 2 days. You ain't brushed your teeth. That's authentic. That's
yes,
really
it is. Hard.
And people don't want to identify, but they got to love that too. You got to love the bad with the good.
Absolutely.
What are you telling your daughters about body image and being in their feelings and how to deal with that? Because they're looking at you. And
they're looking at me.
You got to be true. You got to be transparent.
And, you know, there's a lot of things like starting from really young, we don't realize things like when they're crying, oh, do you want a cookie?
Right.
Don't treat them when they're in pain or when, you know, oh, you broke up with your boyfriend. Oh, should we get ice cream? No, let's go for a walk. Let's move our bodies. Let's sit and actually cry and feel those feelings. I don't talk about my body at all in a negative way in front of them. I tell them they're beautiful at whatever size they are, wherever they are on the spectrum. I could recognize that they're not happy with something, and then it's work on changing it. Let's make a plan, but not, you know, diet mentality. Vegetables, water.
And don't beat yourself over it. You know, it's fun sitting down eating with your friends and having a beer and eating Mexican food all week long. It, you know, it's fun, but the most important thing is to consider is your overall health. There are going to be fluffy people, but they're in, you know, reasonably good health.
Right. I'm one of them.
Yeah. You know, I get it too. So we beat up on ourselves in one way and praise ourselves in the other. But that's important. Is, you know, life is a duality. What does your husband say about it?
About weight?
Just about, you know, because, you know, when we lose weight or we gain weight, the hormones go crazy.
We're
women at a particular age. Met you at what?
He met me at 300 pounds. And
shut
I told
the front
him,
door. You was 300 pounds?
I was 350 at my highest.
Wow.
350, a size 26, and my wedding dress for my first wedding, for the first husband, didn't fit, and it was a size 26. We needed to go back and get the 28. So he met me at 300, and I said, I'm not staying here. So if you like chubby girls, go find another one, because I'm in the process of losing weight. He said, I like you. And mm-hmm. I knew he was a keeper.
Well, you know, let's talk about the real heavy girl. Brains, you have to, how do I say this politely?
You don't have to be polite with me. You could say the way
it's
you mean.
It's not about you. It's just in general. You need
right.
to keep the women need to keep themselves clean. Okay?
Yes.
Because you got all this foliage.
Yes.
Lift them breasts up and dry up under them, put some powder.
Absolutely.
Lift those cracks and crevices up where you getting rash for your underwear is cutting you. Get a bra that fits.
Yes.
Get a body shaper. And pay attention to your stool, okay? Because that tells you if you are rotting inside. I just had to, you know, run the laundry list down because, you know, when you take off your clothes, you see something totally different than what you sent your representative in.
Right.
But you have to take care of yourself. And when you lose that amount of weight, it doesn't just go somewhere in osmosis, you got to figure out what to do. Now, 300, I don't know. I don't know what your body shape was like. But did you have to have any kind of surgery or anything?
I did. I had two surgeries. So I had 8 pounds taken off of my abdomen and skin. So I was cut from hip to hip.
Wow. And I bet the recovery on that mentally also, when you look down and you really saw that you were probably a third of the person that you were before, getting your head around that, finding that self-esteem in that place, because now you're, you know, you don't know what to think. You jump from, you know, the ugly duckling to the, you know, to the swan all of a sudden.
And you're not used to the attention. Right. You're not used to the way people react to you. I mean, I'm just going to say it. People don't treat people with weight on the same way they treat people who don't have weight on.
Of course not.
So it was really hard for me to see that and know how different I was being treated by certain people. You know, that's an adjustment.
But, you know, but they have their own set of issues. You just can't see their weight.
Absolutely.
You know, the weight is on the back of their neck, pulling their brain down. So what was one of your favorite childhood games to play?
My favorite, I would say Trouble.
Really?
Yes. I loved popping that and trying to get the six so I could come out of start. My other game that I still play to this day is Yahtzee. I love Yahtzee.
Oh yeah. Yahtzee. Yep. I like that. I used to like Monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. But outside game, I used to be hopscotch. Girl, I was a mean hopscotch player. Kids and I don't do that anymore. Do families, you know, they don't have game night anymore. You know, you play dominoes and you just really kind of had that conversation. How can we bring that back? What would be some suggestions that you would think? I just say mandate it. You know, we got
to, you know, agree.
Like date night.
Unplug the TVs on Sunday night. Like they're just not on. And everybody's phone should go in a basket. Yep. Like, cause everybody's attached to their phone.
That's right.
And they should be checked at the door. If you can't unattach yourself for 2 hours to spend time with your family, because you learn so much about people when you sit and talk and play games, and you forget the stress of the week, you know?
Hmm. All right. So explain to us your tribal marking on your arm. What does that represent? And why did you do that?
I actually have a compass and it says, trust your journey.
Oh. And,
yeah. It's symbolic of my weight loss journey and my coaching business is Join Jen's journey. So it's just been like a symbolic thing that I need to find my true north and I need to trust myself and I need to not look outside of me for the answers.
Absolutely. Well, you are headed true north. That's for sure. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you, how to work with you, just to tap in and, you know, and just to see if you resonate, because everybody's not for everybody, but there's 7 billion people on the planet. So there's going to be a whole lot of somebodies for us.
That's awesome. So I am on Facebook. My name is Jennifer Freeman, F-R-E-E-M-A-N. And then I have a website. So my website is Join Jen's Journey, Jen with 2 N's. joinjensjourney.com.
joinjensjourney.com. Toss her a message, brains. Send her an email, because that's what we're going to have to do. I tell everybody, you know, Facebook is changing its face.
That's true.
It's going to be two-faced it now.
So it's joinjensjourney@gmail.com is my email address.
All right, we're going to put that out there. Brains, thank you so much for giving us a slice and a piece on your plate to, you know, give you some information, some soul food, food that you can use that can nourish your mind, your spirit, your body, and to feel good about yourself. At any weight challenge you are, you got to love the interior more than the exterior, okay? So thank you, Jennifer. Come back and visit me again, okay?
Keep your self-talk going. I'm going to check in on you.
Girl, I talk to myself so much, it'd be saying, will you shut up?
You got this. Take care.
All right, baby. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.